Now, last week I was talking with you about some very simple things in this matter of working for Jesus. We can't all preach. We can't all even give Bible studies. And I could name off 20 other things that we can't all do. But friends, everybody can do what I talked about last week, and everybody can do what I'm talking about tonight. Let me make it very simple. It's first to get down on your knees and say, Lord, you died for me, I live for you. What do you want me to do? Who do you want me to pray for? Who do you want me to work for? Is there anybody here that can't do what I just said? Will you stand up? I want to see. No, I mean it, friends. Can everybody do what I just said? You can if you will. Notice how simple it is. Go to God in prayer and give yourself fully to Jesus. Do it in your own way, in your own words, but make a full surrender to Christ. In other words, enlist in His army, using the illustration we're studying tonight. Enlist in His army and report for duty. Jesus is the captain. He'll direct you. He'll lay some soul upon your heart. And then when He does, start praying for that soul. Start praying for that soul. And then pretty soon, do you know what Jesus will do? Either the first time you pray, or the second, or the third, or the fourth, Jesus will begin to impress you with something to do to help that soul. You say, I don't know what to say. Well, ask Jesus what to say. He knows that soul far better than you do. You say, would Jesus really do that for me? Well, he says He will. I will be with thy mouth and will teach thee what thou shalt say. That's what He told Moses. And the reason it's written down in the Bible is because you need it. I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. Will you repeat that with me? I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. But listen, friends, you won't learn what to say by looking at most of the TV programs. They'll not help you. Most of what is babbling on the radio won't put in your mouth the words that Jesus wants you to speak. Tank up, down on your knees with the Bible and the Spirit of prophecy. Fill your mind with the thoughts of God. Come to Calvary. Think of what Jesus did for you. Linger there at the cross until it becomes real in your mind and heart. And then as you meet the people that God has impressed you to talk with and pray with, God will give you words to speak. And friends, don't worry if you're awkward at it. I have good news for you. God can use awkward people to reach some souls that polished, educated, disciplined, trained workers can't reach at all. Somebody will say, well, that sounds good. Maybe there's a place for me. That's why I said it, friend. It is for you, honestly. You know, an army has many methods of warfare. There's infantry and artillery and signal corps and airplanes and all kinds of things. Listen, God has a special work for awkward, bungling, inexperienced people. You can reach a soul that somebody that's been at it 20 years can't reach as well. Believe me, I know what I'm talking about. I've done it myself, and I've seen other people do it. I know there's a place for you. I know there's somebody you can reach. I know there's somebody over there in the enemy's camp that you can reach and release him from captivity and bring him back to the army of the Lord, and let him stand by your side in lifting the banner of Christ. Wouldn't you like to do that? Put God to the test. Live for this. But now please turn to 2 Timothy, the second chapter. Now I want you to see something. Here's the problem with many a heart. 2 Timothy, the second chapter, verses 3 and 4. The man that wrote this from a dark, damp dungeon in Rome. He'd been a soldier for Jesus Christ for years and decades. He'd worn out his life in the struggle. But he hasn't one thought of retreating. His only thought is, how can we get more soldiers in the army and keep advancing and winning men to Christ? 2 Timothy 2. Let's begin with the first verse. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man, will you read the fourth verse with me, all together? No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. A soldier's job is a full-time job. Is that what Paul's saying? Sure. A soldier's job is a full-time job. This is what is interfering with many a soldier's life. He's trying to do too many other things. Don't misunderstand me. There is a place for honest, hard, muscular work in the army of God. Jesus spent most of his life here on earth as a carpenter, and he was in God's army every day. Paul spent hours, days, weeks, months, years as a tent maker while he was giving the message and winning souls to Christ. So, every line of useful work, everything that needs to be done, God has some of his soldiers on duty in that line of activity. One of the biggest reasons is to reach people that otherwise couldn't be reached. Jesus reached people in the carpenter shop he never would have reached from the pulpit. Paul reached people from the tent-making shop that he wouldn't have reached merely giving Bible studies. So wherever you are, if God has put you there, you're on duty for the king. But listen, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Soldiers can't afford to get all tangled up in money-making or in anything else that distracts, diverts, anything that dilutes their efforts, that frustrates their endeavors. No, no, my job is to win souls. Your job is to win souls, and nothing must keep you from that. If it's keeping you from it, ask God to cut the snares away, to open the trap and let you out. For you have been redeemed. At what a price. Oh, friends, talk about wages. Our wages have already been paid. The blood of Jesus shed on Calvary is the price of our redemption. Can we refuse the claim of his love? I wish you'd turn to number 360. 360. Now, you've sung this many, many times, but I hope it'll mean something to us tonight more than it ever has before. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ, the royal master, leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banners go. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Now, I've had you turn to this, not just so that we might sing it. We probably sing it pretty soon, but I want you to look at it. I want you to look at that third stanza. What does it say? Like a mighty army, what? What's that verb? What? Moves. What moves? Why, my dear friend, does it? Does it? An army's got to move if it gets anywhere, doesn't it? Oh, I long that God shall cause the scales to fall from our eyes, that we'll get rid of this idea that the great business of the church is merely to conserve, preserve its resources and members. That isn't its big job at all, friends. Its big job is to advance, gain new territory, win men and women to Christ, capture people for Jesus, and get the job over, get the battle through, win the victory. What do you say? Like a mighty army moves the church of God. Is that what you had in mind when you joined the church? Or were you thinking primarily just of being saved yourself? Let me tell you, in this lifeboat, as soon as you get on board, there's some oars waiting for you to pull. If you've been pulled out of the water, there's a place for you to help propel the lifeboat and reach over and pull other people out of the water and into the boat. Oh, let's not forget what we were saved for. What do you say, Frank? Like a mighty army moves the church of God. Now I want you to turn over to 361. Well, it's right there. Across the page. Here's another one on it. The Son of God goes forth to war. Is that what we read in Revelation 19, 11, and 12? That's right. The Son of God goes forth to war, a kingly crown to gain. His blood-red banner streams afar. Who follows in his train? In other words, who's going to join with him in his army? What do you say? How many of you want to say, Lord, I will? May I see your hands? Will you do that? Thank God for it. Now look at 354. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. Do you like the sound of that? Oh, I like the words, I like the music. It's martial, it's a call to the colors, it's a call to the conflict. Friends, we're going to sing 354 now, and we won't sing this one sitting down, will we? No, no, no. There's some songs that go well sitting down. There's a time for them. But right now is the time to stand up. But listen, I want to make two invitations here tonight, friends. There are some people here tonight that haven't joined the army yet. There are some people here tonight that you've been studying this message, and you believe this is the truth, but you haven't taken your stand for it yet fully. Will you come tonight? I want to take your hand. I want you to stand right here. I want you to get ready to join the church, not just as a life preserver for you, but you're going to join the army to help us win some others. Will you do it, friends? You men and women and young people that have been studying this message but are not yet baptized members of this church, if you believe that this is the remnant church of Revelation 12 that we looked at tonight, oh, friend, I want you to come and give me your hand tonight and say, Brother Frazee, I'm going to join the army. Jesus bought and paid for me with the sacrifice of his blood. I want you to step out tonight and enlist. Now, you won't be baptized tonight. You may have some problems. You may have some things that need studying. But tonight, you can say, God helping me, I'm going to get ready. God helping me, I'm going to make my decision. I want every person that's not yet a member of God's remnant church that will tonight make up your mind and put your name with Jesus, that you're ready to go with him. I want you to come up and give me your hand right here. Then I have another invitation. Over here, I'd like some people to come that are now members of the church, but you sense that you haven't been on active duty. You've been spending most of your time just looking after yourself. Thankful if you could just manage to stay alive spiritually. Thinking you have something to praise the Lord for if you're still breathing. It takes more than that to fight a war, dear friends. Do you agree with me? And listen, I'm not ridiculing anybody that's weak. I'm not making fun of anybody that feels insufficient. I'm telling you the good news that no matter how weak you are, you can be a successful soul winner. If you'll put aside that self-carry, God knows, friends, the hours that are spent on this campus and in homes off the campus in just trying to make people feel more comfortable in their heads. Get rid of some little grievance, some little difficulty, some little thing that somebody didn't treat them just right. Friends, there's a war on. What would you think of a soldier in the trenches or from a foxhole coming up and getting an audience with his captain? And when he finally gets in, the captain says, "What is it that you wanted to see me about?" Say, "You know, the sergeant didn't talk to me very nice yesterday morning, and I wish you'd tell him to be nicer to me." What in the world, friend? Is there a war on or isn't there? What do you say? And so I'm making a call tonight to somebody. Let's let whatever it is that has caused you to do it, being entangled with money-making or being troubled about your own little grievances and moping over your disappointments, whatever it is that has kept you, the follies of this world, the pleasures of this world, the lust of this world, anything, if it's been keeping you from being on duty and soul winning, and tonight you'll say, "Lord, I'm going to do the thing from now on that I was baptized to do. I'm going to do the thing that Jesus died to save me to do." I want you to come up and stand right over here. You who are, shall I say, re-enlisting. Now we'll stand. 354. And don't forget my first call. You that have not yet joined the army, you believe that this is God's truth, come up and give me your hand over here on this side.
My wife and I have been claiming Jeremiah 33:3 for the past year. It says, "Call on to me, and I will answer thee, and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." And I want to testify to the Lord tonight. It's a wonderful feeling to know that I know where I belong now. The Lord has really revealed to us where we belong, and I just want to praise Him for revealing that to us this week. And I just want to go on praising Him, and I want to be an active servant in the army so that we can go home with Jesus very soon.
Someone who's made a decision tonight, come. Give your testimony. Okay, brother.
The Bible says, "Ye are my witnesses." I'm afraid most of the time I've been the silent witness. A man put on the stand as a witness and wouldn't say anything, wouldn't go very far, would it? I have a man-fearing spirit. I pray that God will help me to be able to go out and say the things that have been on my heart.
All right, brother, come.
I've read that our vows and promises are like ropes of sand, and without the grace of God to solidify and confirm our decision, it's all meaningless. I've come to this point many times, daily. Lord, take me, use me before you tonight, and by God's grace, I make a move to follow Him wherever He leads. Pray for me, please.
When Jesus was discussing with God before they created the world, the plan of salvation, He didn't hesitate at all to offer that He could die for us if something happened. And it was just, He manifested such great love, and I pray that I'll never hesitate from now on to stand up for Him.
Amen. Brother Jacobson.
I want to praise the Lord tonight for His wonderful love to me. The experiences I had, some of you know that I've spent 3.5 months in New York City seeking for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It's a very hard work to be done, but the reward the Lord has given me is I have found an old friend whom I've known 25 years ago. Two friends in the Middle East went to a college to study nursing. They met Adventists. They accepted the message. And when they have come to these states, somehow it wasn't easy for them to adjust, and somehow they drifted away from the message. I met them that 20 or more years ago, and in my heart it was hard to find them. And when I was in New York, I was still searching. And one lady I found, and when I called her, hearing my voice, she began to cry unexpectedly, never to hear from me before my voice. I made an appointment and I met her, and she told me her story. The Bible says, and it's true, when the devil goes out and he finds an empty heart, 7 devils come in. And that was the experience of that lady. Saturated with nicotine, her only friend became a cigarette. New York Center has been conducting a 5-day plan, and I begged her to come to the 5-day plan. She said, "No, I don't want to meet any Adventist. I'm through with them." And by prayer and by searching and seeking, coming to discuss with her, she consented to come to a five-day plan. And she be opened up, and she become warmed, and be prayed, and be sang hymns, and I brought her a Bible again. God is greatly rewarded. Tomorrow she's going through the Waterloo grave, being rebaptized. I got a letter this week. Praise God. Now I want you to pray for me. There are many other lost sheep in the great city. Looking to those buildings, you're looking like a big truck loaded with human beings on the way to the slaughterhouse. Pray that the Lord will direct me what to do with my life and the life of my family. Thank you.
In the last few weeks, I have learned quite a lot. You know that I've been through surgery for cataracts. And when you have this surgery, nobody knows what it is, but only those who have been through it. When the brain tries to focus an eye that has no lens, well, you think that you're kind of going off your mind. It seems that way. And then to concentrate upon the scriptures, upon God, is something that you have to do, or you need to do. And this has been a great blessing to me in these past weeks, because that I have listened to the tapes of Elder Vazee, I've listened to the tapes of Meade McGuire, and of George West, and of many more. And these has been a consolation to me to hear their stories. I need to do these things so that I can get my mind on to somebody else except me. We are terrible people, I am rather, I don't know about you, about letting the mind dwell upon self. And two, I appreciate all of the prayers and encouragement that has been given me by the faculty at Wildwood and by the students. In other words, everyone that I have met has been wonderful. You know, tonight I sat out here in the seats, and it's the first time in a year that I could recognize anyone up on the rostrum, because my sight was that bad. And today I want to use these eyes. Now, God has given me something to help, which compares kindly with the spirit of prophecy and the scriptures. God made a lesser light to shine upon the great light, and he has given me an aid to where that I can see more, to work in his, and to read in his word. Good. And this is my determination tonight.
I have a wonderful Savior I want to praise tonight. He won my heart anew. And in times past, he's sent people to me to work with, and I'm thankful that I could work with him. But tonight I dedicate my life to more earnest service, to go out and search out these lost lambs and to pray them into a victorious experience with Jesus.
I do want a more earnest service with the Lord. I want to keep in my mind always how he is standing before the Father for me, so that I will be most happy to stand for him whenever he wants me to.
Amen.
I'm so thankful that the Lord has given me a vision tonight, and I have a feeling that I've been sort of straining at gnats and picking at straws, but I determined to get down to the warfare tonight and win souls for Christ.
Thank the Lord.
I'm so thankful that we have a Savior who bears patiently with us. And I choose tonight to let the Lord work out his work of salvation and teach me to be a faithful witness.
Good Lord. We're glad you came here and learned.
Just about a year ago, this time, last October, we came to Wildwood. But before we did, I was in one of the big universities in this country and seeking for one of the highest degrees. But I wasn't satisfied, so I went back to Korea because I had something in mind. But Lord didn't let me do what I was thinking. Then I got an invitation from Wildwood. You know, I never heard about Wildwood before, but I got it. So I came, and I learned about this program. So we have been here a year. We learned many things. Now we are going back to Korea with different determination. Every step, we are trying to follow him. With his help, we'll do everything what we learned here and try to accomplish what the Lord wants us to accomplish. So please pray for us. Next week will be last week for us.
We will pray for you, brother. We're all in the same army, aren't we? God bless you, brother Kim.
I just got the feeling that I had to say something tonight. My heart started throbbing, and I knew there was something on my mind. I was in the United States Army, and I just couldn't wait to get out. I served, and I did a good job while I was there, but I just couldn't wait to get home and get out of the Army, like most people. And I rejoiced when I did get out of the Army. I felt real great. I celebrated and everything else. My whole family celebrated because I come home safe, and everything was fine. But now I joined the Lord's Army, and this is one army I want to stay in till the work is finished.
Thank God.
The devil hates getting down to specifics. I want every one of you, you folks that have enlisted for the first time tonight, and any of you that have re-enlisted, I want you to go out of this chapel tonight with some soul on your heart. Some soul on your heart that you're going to pray for. Now, you can be perfectly safe with God. You can make this kind of a bargain with God. You can say, Lord, I'll wait until you give me something to do, and then I'll do it. I'll wait till you give me something to say, and then I'll say it. But be sure you play fair with God. When he puts something in your mind to do, do it. When he puts something in your mind to say, say it. That's all you need to do.